Welcome to the IT Babble podcast, where we talk about educational technology and a whole lot more. You can find our podcast on iTunes, please subscribe, or your very favorite podcasting app. Also, you can find our blog at www.itbabble.com. Welcome back, everybody. It is the IT Babble podcast. And it's been a little while, but things have been kind of crazy with Tony and I. But we're here now to try to get squeeze one in before Thanksgiving, and we've got lots to talk about, so I'm doing pretty good. I hate daylight savings time, Tony. I hate it. It's the worst.
How come?
Oh, it seems so silly. It seems so silly. I don't know. I don't like it. Talking with you, it was 13 hours. You were 13 hours ahead, but now you're 14 hours ahead.
What?
Yeah.
So weird.
It is. They don't do daylight savings over there in South Korea, do they?
No, you just wake up and it's super dark.
See, I'm fine with that. Why don't we just do that? Anyway, Indiana didn't used to do daylight savings times, but I think somewhere around, I think somebody told me around in between 7 to 10 years ago, they voted and they brought it back. It's a conspiracy. Anyway,
it's all farmers.
It is.
That was my phone. Sorry, that was by the microphone.
All right.
I heard that when I was a small child that it was all about the farmers, and that's why they did it.
And there are a lot of farmers in Indiana still, but I don't know. It would give them more time to harvest and to, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know anybody who's harvesting in November. I'm just going to put that out there. Okay. All right. Well, we have a great show. We're going to be talking about VR headsets because I went to a technology conference and they gave them out. They passed them out. Everybody who attended got a $400 Mirage Solo from Lenovo. And we'll talk about that.
You have it?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It's in the box right now, but I played around with it a little bit.
You're not wearing it right now.
I am. No. Oh gosh. No. We're going to talk about Google and their new... their new identity program, kind of a cloud identity for customers and partners. But that it's just a fancy way of saying LDAP. It's Google's LDAP. And that was just announced. It was announced a little while ago, but now some companies are starting to use it and work with it. And I'll talk a little bit about that. But let's talk about Apple's new hardware, Tony. I'm sure you've heard about the new MacBook Air, the new MacBook Mini, and the new iPad Pro.
I've heard about them, but I was honestly afraid to read all about them. Oh. I thought I would get super angry.
Yeah. I work with a really big Apple fan. He knows a lot about it, and we were working. We had the keynote on in the background. And after it was over, and I was like, well, what do you think? And he's like, oh, just disappointed all the way around. Just disappointed.
What about the fingerprint scanner?
I do like the fingerprint scanner. I think that's a nice thing. But, you know, they could have put that in the old one. They could have put, I don't know. My problem is the MacBook Air, it looks fine, except that it's a $1,200 now. It's $200 more than the old one. And the old one, instead of dropping it, they keep it at $1,000. It's still sold at $999. And we got links to those in the show notes, people. So you can check it out yourself if you don't believe me. But it's in the old MacBook Air, the components in there are 3 to 4 years old already. So it is not a computer that's probably going to last for 4 or 5 years. It might, but it's going to struggle. And I don't know. I was just...
So you're saying if you spend like $900 on the old model, you're actually buying a really old model for $900.
That's right.
So it should be like $500.
Maybe, you know, I'd even say $700 if you want to put a premium on it, $700. But even for that, so me in my position, um, I director of technology, when I'm looking at the Air, it is a fit for our staff, but the price is not a fit for our budget. And so a lot of what we do is in the cloud. So Google's in the cloud because we work with Google. Our school information system is all cloud-based. So it really doesn't matter if you have a Mac or a Windows or even a Chromebook. And it just kind of gets me thinking of, do we need to stick with Apple? I think for right now, we are going to stick with Apple, but I can't say that's going to be the case 2 or 3 years down the road. It's hard to justify because with our cycle, we're buying anywhere from 13 to 17 laptops every year. We have some right. that are phasing out. And when you add up $200, 13 to 17, I mean, that's a lot of money. You know, for $1,000, I can get a Dell XPS 13 for my staff, and it's a fantastic computer. I don't know. It Apple left me, and I think a lot of other educators, in a very weird spot. And it's not makes me question what Apple is thinking. You know, are they just trying to be stay the richest company in the world? And are they even listening to their
their customers? They're having issues. Like, they're having supply chain issues. I know they still have tons of cash, but like, they're actually, their sales are not what they were for any of their products. And we just got some information that the new iPhone, we're having some issues because the new iPhone can't load our security certificate for our Wi-Fi network.
Oh, that's huge. It's a huge problem.
It is a huge problem, I guess. But like, phone support has nothing to do with my job in terms of, you know, the students and the teachers. Straight up, I've told them, you know, you can use your phone on the Wi-Fi, but you're kind of responsible for your phone data. It's just not a required device if you have a phone, it's just to make phone calls as a required device for emergencies for teachers. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. So Wi-Fi doesn't even really
fall. It is kind of a big deal. I mean, we're not using anything. I mean, we're using like very standard security implementation, nothing special, nothing outdated. It's up to date. So, you know, it's just definitely a software flaw out of the box. And anybody that had purchased a bunch of iPhones or let their employees use it for like, let's say you work, you know, I don't know, Wall Street or something. And yet all those people would be unable probably to connect to the network with this particular like certificate flaw.
Ah.
So, and it's not, I don't think it's even really documented. Like, no one's even acting like it's a problem. And maybe it's not a huge problem. I'm just saying that it seems like with all these changes, there's an issue with quality control.
Yeah, yeah. They're working so hard to get as many out into the stores as quickly as they can.
New iPad Pro, on the other hand,
yeah,
looks all right. I didn't know that you could connect devices to it. Like, I wonder how flexible that is.
You can connect devices to it. You cannot connect an external storage device to it. So no external hard drives. It doesn't matter. It will not recognize it. It just won't. It'll just flat out say, cannot recognize the device. But you could plug in a keyboard to it. No problem. You can plug a camera into it. You can plug a separate screen into it. And it will mirror automatically. I mean, so here's the confusion, right? So I'm watching the keynote. And they unveil the MacBook Air, and everybody's really happy. And they unveil the Mac Mini, and everybody's happy. But then they unveil the iPad Pro, and immediately they start comparing it to laptops. They're like, look how many iPads we've sold compared to laptops have been sold worldwide. Look what you can do on an iPad Pro. You can run Photoshop. You can do AutoCAD. You can do all this other great stuff, like pro versions of this now. And they're like, so why would you buy... And it's more powerful than like 90% of the laptops on there. So even though they just unveiled a laptop for like 40 minutes ago, they're saying, yeah, don't buy that thing. Come buy this thing. This is where you want to be. You don't. And so it's like, wow, look at our great MacBook Air. Yeah, but forget it, it's garbage.
It's a different market. Like, they should be like, you know, if you're the type of person that does this, the iPad Pro is for you.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, you just sat through the laptop speech, we want to let you know that was pointless because laptops are horrible. In fact, you should buy an iPad Pro and forget the last 40 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, it's crazy powerful of what it can do. And it is, like, I saw a video where a film editor, video editor for The Verge, TheVerge.com, he goes, I rendered a 10-minute 4K video in my iPad, and I rendered the same video on my 15-inch fully decked-out MacBook Pro, and they finished about the same time. Now, that's bonkers. That's bonkers that an iPad has that much power with it. But at the same time, the iOS 12 is not suited for serious work. I don't feel. I just. Oh, hi. Oh, there's Emma. Oh. Yeah, it's your pocket, baby. Okay. All right. There you go. No, I think, and they just kept comparing it to laptops. They're like, this should be considered a laptop, is what they said. When as before, many, many times before, they said, this is not a laptop. This is a personal device for you to consume media. And it's like, and in between, you have your laptop and then you have this. And it's like an accessory to your laptop. And so I don't know. It's just not there yet. I don't know. I think Apple is starting to wade in some deep waters. And if anybody can pull it out, if anybody can make the iPad Pro like a Surface, Windows Surface Pro, that could be a very compelling device. That could be a really nice device. But right now, I don't think so. I'm not excited about anything Apple has out right now. not one product. And that's sad because I was such an Apple fanboy for a while, for a very long time.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah. So, oh well, you know, it's okay. It's okay. But you know what gets me really excited though, Tony?
VR.
VR gets me super, super excited. I mean, oh man. So I'm just going
to... You need to explain the difference between standalone VR and you got to use your phone VR.
You got it.
I don't know what to call it.
Yeah, I don't know what to call it either. Okay, so the headset I got from the HECC Tech Conference in Indianapolis is the Lenovo Mirage Solo, and it sells for $400, and it is a standalone. So that means Samsung has VR headset, but you have to put a phone into it. And Google Cardboard is same thing. It's a headset, but you have to slide an Android smartphone in there to make it work, to get the 3D effects and all that other good stuff. The Mirage Solo is like a smartphone that's already built into the headset. You don't have to slide anything in. It's just all there. And so you have the headset, and then you have a little remote control that's completely wireless. And when you put the headset on, the remote control, it looks like it's shooting a laser. So you can use it to select through menus. And let me tell you, typing in the Wi-Fi password on that thing is atrocious. It's just the worst. It's so bad. So my friend who I talked about earlier, who I work with, he went to the Lenovo workshop. I tried to sign up for it, but it was sold out. I figured, yeah, they're giving away $400 headset. I'll sign up. But the guy said, he goes, in 2 to 3 years' time, he goes, we envision every school having a cart or more of VR headsets like the Mirage Solo in every classroom. That's what he said. Oh, wow. Yeah. So, Tony, have you ever tried one of these? Have you ever had any experience with VR?
Not that model, but in China, we were piloting a program in the elementary school with VR, and it was, I don't know, it was pretty cool. It was, they had some fun stuff you could play around with for training, but the actual implementation, the students used SketchUp Pro, which isn't free. Everyone thinks SketchUp is free.
No, it's not free. Not the Pro version.
SketchUp Pro is owned by a company, and they have an educational pricing plan. So we bought 36 seats for the kids, and they would build stuff in SketchUp, then load it in to the VR system. It was a custom built Windows computer with two VR headsets and the things you hold in your hands so you can use your hands. And they would load their models in, and while they would walk through and examine their models, people could see it on the screen, and then they would find all their mistakes. And then their partner would be sitting at the table and then start basically fixing the mistakes as they were discovered.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah.
And I would say that is the best use of VR I've seen. Like, I felt like it was a holistic, team-based, like, project. But it's really expensive to do that. We had, like, a, you know, kind of like a grant from our foundation to do it. It's really, really expensive just to do something like that. I don't really know. You could do that a million ways and almost spend no money.
Yeah, and for the Mirage Solo, it's an Android operating system. So that means you have the Google Play Store. That's where you're getting your app. So I'm not sure if you can sideload an app. There might be a way to do it, but it's a very stripped down Android OS. And there's not a lot of options. I bet there is a way that you could sideload a program into there, but putting SketchUp on here, that's an impossibility. That I don't think that could work.
Yeah, we didn't use. I mean, the SketchUp model was exported and then loaded into the VR.
Oh, so, I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah.
So as long as it's a program that loads a VR viewable file, so you still needed a laptop and SketchUp to do the work, and then you just use the VR to like go through the model. It's just interesting because young kids have trouble with 3D modeling because they forget about depth and all this other stuff. So when they put the VR on and they start, like, let's say they make a house, they start walking through the house, they realize, oh, this door is too narrow, or, oh, this wall is too thick. Like, they can see it, you know, in front of them.
Yeah.
So then they can fix it. Oh. So that was kind of one of the main, points of the implementation was the, like, real-time revision. And it is a lot faster. So it's expensive, and I know this is just like a trial program, but it is significantly faster for kids to actually experience things like that than it is for them to scroll through it on a screen.
Oh, that's pretty. I bet the Mirage probably could do that then. I bet if you're just loading a 3D model, I think the Mirage could load and run that.
I like the way it looks, though.
It looks very nice, and when you put it on, the resolution is, it's kind of, people talk about a screen door effect. It's very much that, as if you're looking at the image, and there's a screen door in between you and the display.
Are you going to wear it to play Red Dead Redemption 2?
No. But I'll probably get that game next year sometime, because it looks awesome. It looks great. I will tell you that after about 20 minutes with it on my head, I started to get tired. Like, my eyes started to get tired. It weighs on. It's not a very heavy. It's fairly light. But of course, you know, if for people who wear glasses, think about, you're wearing glasses, but instead of your glasses being a few ounces or a few grams, that it's like a half a kilogram, you know, on your head, on the bridge of your nose. And I kind of had to, like, always, I had to reposition it often in order to keep everything in focus. If not, there'd be parts of the experience that were out of focus, whether it be in the middle or on the left or on the right or the bottom or something, you know. So it was pretty neat, though. But it feels very much like a novelty right now. Unless you're doing something very specific, like you mentioned, Tony, I think the Mirage or any other VR headset is just a novelty. I don't think... There's not a lot of stuff on the Google Play Store that I could try for free, and there doesn't even seem to be that much stuff that you can pay for, and everything seems very simplistic and very stripped down. And the guy at the workshop, he goes, "This is for students who would be 13 and up. We don't recommend using it for children under 13." And he says it can cause nausea, it can cause headaches. The guy, the Lenovo guy, said. He goes, I wore it.
I was thinking about this. Okay, so just It seemed back in, I'm just going to go way back. So by 1999, I think, so or 2000, Sony had goggles that you could wear if you were doing video, a lot of video, which I was, and let's say that you're filming on location and stuff. They had these goggles that you could wear, and you could dock these things into Sony professional video cameras. So if you put the camera up on like a, I had like a jib, so the camera would go on this thing and it was counterweighted, and then it would, the camera would go like 10 feet up in the air. And then I could pull the camera from below, tilt it, and like do crowds and stuff. All right. But in order to do that, this jib comes with a stupid little tiny monitor. And it's hard to see sometimes, especially in bright sunlight. So these goggles, you could get these goggles and wear them and see your video feed like in real time. And obviously the sun wouldn't bother you or bright light. But even back then, that was the same problem. Okay? No one has ever really solved that problem, I don't think.
Wow. No, I don't like, think so. No.
I don't know. If you've read the Daniel Suarez book, Damon, it's kind of a dark novel. It's a really good novel. Guy used to work for the CIA and the NSA, or one or both. I don't know. I'll have to look it up. But he worked for the government, and then he wrote this book. So, like, I feel like it's everything in the book can happen. Because anyway, and I was recently watching like a sci-fi show, and they had the same concept. And they're not goggles, so it's more of an augmented reality experience. They're sunglasses that are – they kind of wrap around a little bit. They're yellowish color, and it's an augmented reality, meaning – only a percentage of the lens, kind of like Google Glass, only a percentage of the lens has the interactive content, and it overlays with stuff like in front of you. So if you wanted to do a video game, you wouldn't try to make the whole screen in the lens. You would, when the user looked at a wall, the glasses would use the wall to render parts of the game. So it's hard to explain, but you're not using the full field of vision as like a TV on your eyes.
Oh.
And I think that is like the way to go. And not only that, theoretically you could just walk around whenever you want with these things on.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. But I just don't think we're, I don't know if that's ready for prime time or mainstream yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I like that idea, that augmented reality. Isn't that the kind of the HoloLens, what Microsoft is working on?
Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. Do you ever see something like this taking off in schools, Tony? Do you think it has a chance?
I think it only has a chance if the ergonomics can improve. Have you, like, the augmented reality apps for the iPad are great. Have you seen those?
Yeah, they look very good. Yes, they look very good.
We have some at school, and they're very affordable, actually. Like, the package was super affordable. We got all these maps and stuff. All these manipulatives you can put down, and then you use the various apps from the same company, and the kids can just really explore all these, like, manipulative items, and there's, like, a map of Australia, and you can put your iPad over it, and Australia basically comes to life, and you can zoom in and do all the stuff. It is really cool. And I think that's the best stuff I've seen so far, unfortunately. And it's still limited, but that's the best stuff I've seen.
Yeah, and then there, it's tying you into Apple. Like, you know, it's, and you have to have an iPad. Well, I guess all the iPads now can probably do have AR support. See, that sounds pretty cool. That sounds, I think, a lot better than VR. A problem with the VR is you put on the headset and then you put on the earbuds and then you are, like, isolated. You can see nothing. I can see kids falling out of chairs or trying to stand up and to reach for something. And I don't know. I just, yeah, it made me cringe. And it also, it hurt my head. It gave me a headache. Like, I had trouble focusing on the TV. I was trying to watch TV later that night with my wife, and I was just like, oh. It, like, space was different. I don't know how it was, like a depth. My eyes couldn't. I don't know. It was very strange. I don't know how else to explain it. It was very weird. But I don't know. I don't think it's. Somebody asked me if I was going to donate my headset to the school, and I said no. And they said, why not? And I said, well, it just feels like a novelty right now. I don't think the school would actually get much use for it. I think it would literally just gather dust and get used maybe an hour or two a year.
Did you create like a virtual detention with it?
I did. I created a whole lot of, no, I didn't do anything with it. I just played some games, and I, even though it's 13 and over, I strapped it right onto my 9-year-old's head and let him experience a roller coaster with dinosaurs. And he thought it was really cool. And I played a BBC game, where an educational game where you're swimming through the ocean and you touch stuff and it tells you, oh, this is a sea anemone and this is why it's important to this ecology and all this other stuff. Ecosystem, I mean. And that thing was pretty awful, actually.
Oh, so just speaking of headsets, we've got, we were looking at getting a couple VR headsets. We can't find any sold in Korea that will perform on any Apple computer.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
That, like, is shocking.
They're underpowered. It's either the graphics card is underpowered or the computer processor is underpowered. I was like, what do you mean this won't run on an iMac? Like a 2017 iMac. And it's like, no. And I read all these reviews and it's correct. It won't. First off, you've got the main issue is like you've got a dongle to connect it because there's no native plug.
Yeah.
And apparently that causes some kind of issue with the signal. And then from there, it's just a bad experience. And I couldn't believe that. I'm like, I've got a, you know, $2,500 computer I can't use with a VR headset from Samsung. Like,
oh, man. That's awful. That's awful. So, I don't know. I don't think VR is going to go away. I'm hopeful. Like you said, once they get the ergonomics figured out, and I think augmented reality, I think you're right. Those goggles are probably the way to go. But they just gotta figure it out. They just have to get the ergonomics, and it's hard to get all that processing power into such a small, light package.
Yeah, and everybody's just stuck on this goggle model. I don't know. I think Microsoft might be doing this correctly, where they're taking their time because they know none of these goggles are going to be mainstream.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's no like bulk selling. Like, it's going to be always niche at the goggle level. Like, isn't even Oculus losing money?
Yeah. Yeah, they are. In fact, it was reported, I think, last week or the week before, that they were trying to make film experiences, like Hollywood. That's dead now. That's completely dead. They've given up on it. I guess people just don't want to, you know, and I know there's VR experience. Like, one of the things you can get on the Play Store is you can watch NBA games in VR, like certain NBA games. They're going to be streamed in VR, or maybe they're recorded and you watch them afterward. I don't know, but I can't imagine that's going to be very exciting, or you know, I think we're I don't know what problems that VR solves. You know, I don't know what problems it's looking for problems to solve. I don't think we have those problems yet.
It definitely, I think. One thing it does is it separates you from the people in the same space as you, which is weird. You know, like, you can sit next to them, but you have to interact with them in the game. So I don't know. Did you watch Ready Player One?
Yeah, I did. It was a lot of fun. That's a good movie, man. Good recommendation. Yeah.
but I think that's another kind of like reality, right, of this stuff. I think. In that movie, everybody's separated socially because they're all in this VR space.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a risk. That's why I really like the AR model, and that's why I hope that's what catches on. I mean, I would love to walk around in my like goggles, be like, "Hey, check this out over to the right."
Yeah, let's go on a virtual reality field trip, and I'm talking. Everybody's somehow, yeah. But I think that's a great point of being able to interact with people in the real world. When you put those on, you are completely isolated. You know, there is, yeah. So great things. That's
yeah. That we good. Have. You've got one more topic on the agenda. It's yep. this Google and LDAP.
Yeah.
So I read over all this, and I actually tried to go into my Google Apps for Education setup and find it, and
it's not there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not there yet. And then I don't know, like, if it works, then, and it says, like, I went down to the bottom of the pricing, and it says that the directory service, there's a free version. I mean, if it works, then companies like, you know, Jump Cloud, like, you wouldn't need them at all.
Yeah, exactly. So what we're talking about, people, is Google's cloud identity for customers and partners. A lot of schools, a lot of businesses use something called Active Directory. So when you sign in, that's the username and that password is managed by Active Directory. And what permissions you have on the server or whatever, that's all handled by Active Directory. And this kind of does away with that. In fact, our print management system, Papercut, just announced on their blog, that's how I found out about this, is that, hey, if you are Google, use G Suite for education, you can now sync your G Suite users with Papercut. And there's no need for Active Directory. So and that, yeah. that makes things so much easier for us, because we only use Active Directory for print management. And we are starting to slowly get away from that, because Papercut allows us to create internal users. And that's what we're starting to do, is create internal users and just not deal with Active Directory. We've had some weird stuff with Active Directory, which caused us to move in this direction, where it wouldn't authenticate, and so they couldn't print. And we'd set up their printer again, and it would work for like a few hours, and then all of a sudden it said the password had expired, and the password, anyway. But this would simplify a lot of stuff. It would, I mean, we create their Google account, they can now print.
Well, this is the one thing that's always been weird about Google Apps. In my opinion, this should have been the first thing that they created after when they launched it. It's like Google Apps as an environment, and you can use it like as a company. This should have been a directory service is usually like kind of the first layer. Most people don't even realize they're using a directory service, but you really can't run anything to scale without one. And like Patrick said, Active Directory, which is very powerful, requires a lot of maintenance on a regular basis. And I would even say that I refuse to use it here because the school could not locate and employ someone who was certified with at least 3 years experience in Active Directory, because I don't have time to do it as part of my full-time job. So that's why we're using a single sign-on system, which is a directory service in the cloud called Jump Cloud. Microsoft offers a cloud-based one too in their they have an Active Directory in the cloud, which is a limited version. I just don't know what the pricing is right now. In China, it wasn't free, so we didn't go that way because the cloud services in China are generally slower. But if Microsoft offers one that's free and Google offers one that's free, I think there's going to be some decisions to be made. Here's the interesting thing, though, and I think people get really excited about this stuff, but I literally run my entire like infrastructure with LDAP, basically. And I do that so there's a single spot that holds all the accounts, and then you can sign into everything. Like even your network login at my school is on LDAP. So when you sign in, the SSI or the Wi-Fi signal looks open, and as soon as you click it, it asks for your username and password. The thing is, the way I have mine set up, it's through a third party, Jump Cloud. So I can make Google accounts with that, and I also can make Office 365 accounts. So it's one sign on for Google and Microsoft. That means that if you're using Office 365, you don't have to have a completely different set of credentials. for your users, which is something a lot of schools hate. So I've seen schools that have Google sign in, and then they don't use the email from Microsoft, so their Office 365 sign in is like patrick.colley@onmicrosoft.com. And that's how they have to do it. So everybody has to maintain two sets of credentials. So using the one in the middle lets you skip that, but then of course that is not free. So I bet a lot of people would say, you know what, we don't care to have a little bit of a headache if we can like authenticate everything through Google.
Yeah. And for us, we use our school information system, which is Blackbaud. It's BAUD, not Blackboard. And Google, and it partners with Google. So you sign into your Blackbaud account, and then that authenticates your Google account. And they use it through the SAML method, the SAML. I forget what that stands for. And there is a, like you said, this Tony isn't free. This one from Google isn't free. And the SAML method, it's 1.5 cents per user per month. So we're a fairly small school. Maybe we have 1,000 accounts. I think I'm being really optimistic about that. I think we're well below that, but 1,000 accounts, like that's $10, you know, it's like, or maybe $20 a month. Like we can afford that. If that brings synergy to our platform, a little bit more synergy, I think the people would be happy to pay it. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm excited about it. I think we're going to take the plunge and try it this summer. I think that'll be it. And our print management system, Papercut, has said that if you have Active Directory, you can run this Google identity for customers and partners. You can run this there, the Google LDAP, for example. You can run that side by side. So we're not really risking it a whole lot. We can test it out safely. And if it doesn't work or if it's not ready for prime time, then we can just, you know, we can back off of it and come back and reevaluate it.
Well, so let me know. Like, you're going to be testing it before I do. So let me know, because I think it's like, I like it. I was, like I said, I'm one of these people. I'm like shocked, you know, they didn't have this from day one.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
It's huge. Like it's not flashy, but it's a big deal.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, we don't need Active Directory is very powerful, and we don't need all that power behind us. We don't have a lot of servers that people access, or students. We don't have like a server that the finance office access, and a server that just students access. And we don't have that really.
Just to give you, hold on. Let me look something up really quick. I want to give everybody an idea of when they need Active Directory. Maybe that will be better.
That would be fantastic.
Okay. And there's a really easy way to do it. Hold on.
Yeah. And like Tony was saying, a lot of people use it, but don't even realize they're using it. So if you have to sign on to your computer in order to use it, and it's not a Chromebook, it's a Windows machine, or even an Apple machine, even a Mac can run Microsoft Active Directory and be authenticated through that.
Okay. So if you have more than – let me see if I can explain this. If you have more than 50 Windows computers for every IT staff that you have, meaning if you have one IT person and you have 60 – Windows computers, you should have Active Directory. If you have 150 employees and you have two IT staff, you should have Active Directory. This is because you will need Active Directory to control a lot of the stuff happening when people sign into those systems, including deploying scripts that launch certain types of network shares and other permissions.
Yeah.
If you have one person and 75 employees without Active Directory, that person will be going computer to computer all day long. And I say 1 to 50 because I believe that that is manageable. But honestly, if you get to 55, I believe that it somehow becomes not manageable. Like, there's just a certain amount of there's just a certain amount of time that you can spend before it's like, I need to learn something to make this better. And I would say at one staff to 55 people, that's when you start training. And probably by the time you get to 60 people, you would be done.
Mm.
So you're going to get really annoyed at 50, and then that's going to push you to train and get certified. So I would look at it like that. And it's really about number of users and devices that need to be controlled. And there's a lot of different ways to do package management. So if it's not Active Directory, you're going to use another. So if you don't use Active Directory, you're going to use something else to standardize all those machines and launch and deploy software. But now you have to use a second product for the single sign-on. So that's not very smart. So Active Directory is super powerful, and that would be the metric I have. A lot of schools have a lot of kids with Apple laptops. The setup on the laptops is pretty standard, and the kids use kind of like a website or a kiosk or whatever to install their software. They don't need Active Directory.
Hmm.
If you've got teachers and you've given them full administrative power on their laptops and they're allowed to customize things, and they have Apple laptops, they don't really need Active Directory either.
Yeah.
But if you bought, you know, let's say you decided to go all in with like Lenovo or Dell, and you purchased like 200 Windows 10 laptops for your school, you need to, those Windows 10 has to be managed. I mean, at scale, or it will drive you crazy just with updates. And the best way to manage it is to connect it to a Microsoft server and use those tools. And one of the tools is Active Directory.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
So
anyway, I'm very excited about this. I think this is good.
My recommendation.
I like it. I like it.
Unfortunately, Patrick, I have to go soon because it is 6:30 in the morning here and I have to get ready for work.
I understand. It's Sunday. We only have 2 days and then we're on Thanksgiving break.
Oh, yeah. Happy Thanksgiving, Patrick.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you, too. I know you told me, you know, before the show that you guys don't get it off, but I hope you got something planned. Hopefully you're going to meet up with some friends and take a dinner in someplace.
Yep, I'm going to go get some high-quality kimchi.
Ooh, sounds good.
That was a joke. I'm not eating kimchi for Thanksgiving.
Some people love kimchi and would happily eat it for Thanksgiving, I'm sure.
Yeah, you can't eat it for Thanksgiving if you're American.
No, you can't. You got to get some turkey. You got to get some turkey, some stuffing.
I'm going to find some.
All right, good. That is good. All right, but anyway, that's it. That's our agenda. We don't have anything else. So for IT Babble, I'm Patrick.
I'm Tony.
And keep on babbling out there, and we'll catch you on the next episode before Christmas. Guaranteed before Christmas. Hopefully sooner than that. So, all right. Later.